a radio.com sports station.
Showtime.
How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you're off to a good start on a Tuesday morning. Shane and Bruce with you rolling it out. The start of NFL free agency, or at least the legal tampering period for free agency. Can't be announced officially until tomorrow, but a lot of movement around the National Football League. The American comes out with its postseason honors, even as we are pre-tournament and ready to go in Memphis. Lots of things going on this morning. Shane, how are you, buddy?
Knee-deep in basketball.
Yeah.
Championship week. Championship week coming up. You got the ACC, well, all the major conferences that aren't already going at it, and going after those auto bids. Wofford got one last night. On me for not realizing until last night, Wofford's probably going to be a single-digit seed. Wofford out of the Southern Conference is probably going to be a 7. Not even an 8-9.
Did that take you by surprise?
It totally did. They've won 21 games in a row or something like that. 21,
they've
21-0 in the SoCon or whatever it is.
That's been a pretty good story, and that league has actually been pretty good. Greensboro has been pretty solid this season as well. I don't think they're going to get two in. It doesn't. Maybe they will. I don't know. I don't think Greensboro's probably gets in at large, but that's been a pretty good league this year,
I'd say.
So, not like I've lined up and watched a lot of the Southern Conference, but. But I have seen Wofford a couple of times this year. They've been a pretty solid team all the way down the stretch. They were really good in the second half last night. I did watch a fair portion of that game.
Well, and the fact that they get a 7 seed suggests that there's a very real chance that they'll win a game in the tournament. Obviously, you know, matched up against a 10, and they're 0-4 in NCAA tournament games all time. So Wofford has a chance to win a game in the NCAA tournament. And those are those the kind of stories that I know we're used to wanting to see them because we're used to being in the Missouri Valley Conference and watching Wichita State out of the Valley and kind of halfway, kind of sort of rooting for, besides Wichita State, to get in. All right, does the Valley have any other teams worthy of getting in? Can we get a second or third? Or, you know, there was a time where the Valley – was knocking on the door for, you know, four teams being able to go to the tournament. I suppose it's where you're from and who you follow, whether you root for teams like Wofford to get in or not, or teams like Indiana that's lost 14 games, you know. Take a team, and I'm going to talk about Wofford individually because they're in, but Lipscomb or somebody like that. You want Lipscomb or you want Indiana? You know, this is what this time of year comes down to.
Yeah, and it's kind of an eternal argument, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we change metrics. We change how selections are made. We go from the RPI now to the net. I mean, all sorts of things change, but the argument doesn't change. Yeah, would we rather see the number three all-time scorer in college basketball at Campbell or a Midland to not very good team in the Big Ten kind of take up space before they inevitably lose in the first or second round?
Right.
I don't know.
And
it's a fair question.
Depends on the talking head that you follow. You know, Digger Phelps was famous for not wanting a non-Power 5 team to get in. He wanted all Power 5s, you know.
Whatever happened to him, by the way?
You know, I don't know. I hope, you know,
because,
health issues.
You talk about a guy that was there and then was gone.
Yeah, he disappeared.
I mean, just gone.
Teams on the bubble include a lot of Power 5 schools, but Belmont, Lipscomb, St. Mary's, Furman, all sprinkled in there. Depending on, I'm looking at the like the Horizon League tournament final. You got a one. That's a one bid league. It looks like Summit League, obviously one bid. You got Omaha, North Dakota State in that final.
Right.
I don't know. It's. I'm with you a little bit in that, and the committee's not going to look at that particular kid from Campbell and say, you know, it'd be nice if we let this guy on this stage just for the sake of that, because you got to have a resume that lines up.
Not.
But, of course, all things being equal, whatever metric you favor, I'll ask you, is that what you would you rather have Belmont or Alabama in, for example?
Well,
I mean, not really knowing anything about either one of them.
Unfortunately, I know a little bit about Belmont. I would say probably Belmont. The whole eight teams have got to get in from the SEC thing has always been a little lost on me. And I get it. I mean, there has to be some formula that is used and respected and followed with some consistency to plant a field of 68.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. And having never gone through the selection process, I don't know. I mean, I think I have some understanding of the difficulties and the challenges that one faces when making these decisions. But, I don't feel the great need to have Minnesota in as a 12 playing in Dayton. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like
Clemson and TCU.
Whoever it happens to be this year,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, it's like, okay, really? No. Why not? And
let me ask you this, since you talked about the process and having never gone through it, and I have, you know, obviously we don't know what it's like. Is it possible that we can take the names off of every single school?
Do a blind draw.
And their resume and look at their, just mm-hmm. their numbers. Okay. I mean, that takes away the eye test, because you take that out of the equation when you're talking about, you know, if you and I are both on the committee and I'll ask you, hey, how many times have you seen Minnesota play this year? You know, that takes away the anonymity of these guys' resumes. You know, so taking out all the auto bids, you can put the names on the auto bids, sure, and find out who they played. And all right, Bradley's probably a 15. We'll put them in Salt Lake City or whatever. But as far as the at-larges, why can't you? Unless you actually do go by the eye test, which are they supposed to? No, you're probably not supposed to. These are all the metrics that we're mixing in here. Here's their strength of schedule. Here's their strength of record. Here's their RPI. Here's their net. Here's their points per possession.
Well, you got to take something collectively, right? Because an eye test, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll ask you, how many times had you seen Wofford this year before last night?
None. Zero. I had not seen him.
Exactly. I mean, I think I saw him against KU for a little bit, and I might have seen him against North Carolina. By the way, both games that they lost. This team has lost four times. Four times. That's it.
Oklahoma was another one, and Mississippi State was the fourth.
Kansas, Mississippi State, and North Carolina, and they really weren't in any of those four games. They did beat South Carolina, and you know, maybe one of their best wins comes against our friend Steve Forbes
at East Tennessee State.
And they pounded East Tennessee State, and we know that that's a pretty good basketball team.
Yep, beat them twice, so, once bad, once close.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't know. I actually
beat them in the SoCon semis, or two. Yeah, beat them three times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult for me, even as much college basketball as you and I watch, for me to honestly say, yeah, oh yeah, I can do an eye test on Wofford because I probably haven't seen them enough.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But
all right, if you saw them last night, you're like, yeah, this and they
nice
sewed
club.
Up the auto bid. You're like, yeah, they should be in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I like the way they look. But that's only one game. You know? How many games are we gonna use for the quote unquote eye test? How many
Well, I haven't seen Furman, for instance.
Right.
And Furman is a team that's been good. I haven't seen Furman play. And I think that we're where we come from, and with Wichita State's experience mm-hmm. in this in particular over the years, I think we're both kind of predisposed to the quote-unquote mid-major having its place in the NCAA tournament. And have they gotten screwed over the years? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I look back on it and think, there's a lot of good mid-major stories that have emerged during the NCAA tournament, and I know that the people that argue more for that would say, well, yeah, we need more chances of that happening, and we should have more teams like that in the tournament. And that may or may not be true. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not in that room, and I don't totally understand the process.
Well, okay,
here's
a for instance, all right, in taking Wofford's name off of the resume. And I know I'm talking out of both mm-hmm. sides of my mouth because they had got the auto bid. But just for the sake of argument, Wofford has the same amount, and quadrant wins are a thing too. We forgot about that. Quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. You know, good wins versus bad wins or bad losses. Wofford has the same number of quadrant 1 wins as Virginia Tech and more than mm-hmm. Nevada and Buffalo.
Wow.
And is ahead of Iowa and Kansas State in the net rankings. Three fewer non-quadrant one losses than Iowa State. And yet we think very highly of Nevada, Buffalo, and Iowa State, and K-State for that matter. So,
right.
You know, how do you twist these numbers? Do you twist these numbers? Should you? Nevada is projected as a top 5 seed. And Wofford, like I said, has more quadrant one wins than Buffalo does, and Nevada does too.
Well, it's easier to load on Nevada and Buffalo because they've had recent success in the tournament, which I don't think is supposed to have anything to do with it.
It shouldn't,
but it changes yours and my idea, I think, and most college basketball fans' idea.
Not if we strip the name off the resume, though, we wouldn't know.
You're right.
That would go right out. That go right out the window. Yeah, Nevada has zero quadrant one wins. Zero? Is that right?
Seems hard to believe to me.
They're 0-0 in quadrant one, and so you can no longer rag Wofford for playing in the Southern Conference if Nevada didn't even play a quadrant one team, because Wofford clearly did, and any quadrant one win that Wofford has would be more than Nevada. And so they don't. I guess I answered my own question, which I think we all knew, that bias kind of comes into
although,
play here.
Okay, and so if you put, and maybe you've got the ability to do this quickly, if you put Wofford and Nevada side by side, would Wofford be that much more impressive? Because if you're talking about South Carolina and East Tennessee three times as maybe your biggest wins, they've beaten Greensboro, obviously, three times as well?
I'd have to look. That's all right.
I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, two, three, whatever the number is.
They beat Greensboro 80-50. And they beat Greensboro last night, whatever that score is, 70-58.
Yeah.
They beat him three times. Beat him by 29 the other time, if you're into that. So, yeah, they did beat him three times.
So, I mean, And I don't have Nevada in front of me. When I think about Nevada this year, I think about the loss to New Mexico.
Right.
Quite frankly. I mean, and that's unfortunate, but that's what I think of. I can't think of a win that Nevada has generated that makes me say, "Oh yeah, well, Nevada's a damn good team. They're a four seed or a
you know
five
what makes
seed
them,
or whatever.
You know
they
what
are.
Makes you say that? The eye test.
Hmm. Sure.
They look good. Nevada
yes.
looks like a good team.
They sure do.
They look good.
Yes, they do.
But the metrics don't. I won't go so far as the metrics say they're not, but the metrics don't back it up.
No, they don't.
And if those are the numbers we really lean on.
Sure. And speaking of the eye test, we have recent history because they won games last year in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
I don't care what anyone says. How can you disavow that knowledge? If you're not doing a blind test, if you're not doing a blind comparison and stripping away the name on the chest, mm-hmm. how can you possibly not take into account what Nevada did in the tournament a year ago, or Buffalo
but
did in the tournament?
The committee chair
a year ago.
Will tell you that's not a thing.
Yeah, okay. Human nature tells me that it is.
Right. And
right?
And their coach, Musselman, he's a damn good coach.
Mm.
Should we not take that into account?
He is. Sure. I hear you. But what did they do during the regulars? They won a lot of games.
Won a lot of games.
They won a lot of games. And no one's, and we're not sitting here debating whether Nevada is a NCAA tournament team. We know they're an NCAA tournament team. They could lose in the opening round of the Mountain West tournament, and they're still an NCAA tournament team. No question about it.
But
I don't know. It's interesting.
The issue here is they're a six, and Wofford won't be a six. Whatever they will be, they won't be a six. And Nevada may be a five even by the time the dust settles.
They could be. Sure.
And so we're comparing two non-power fives, but I hope everybody gets the point. Like that would be what I would push more for is the blind taste test kind of thing, which you see it on TV all the time the week of.
They use the name off. It's an effective tool.
It is.
It's
like,
an
who
effective
would you,
tool.
Who would you put in? This Team A or Team B?
And now, you can manipulate that.
Of course you can.
To
course.
A point. Yeah.
But
and I think
that's not the point of our exercise. We want to put deserving teams in, right?
No. Right. Exactly. Now, you start getting into, I think it would be a valuable tool to use in the selection process. But you can't set it up so that you have one that proves your point against another. You just got to put them in a you got to kind of put them in a jumbled mess and say, here they are, compare and contrast. And you know what? Perceptions die hard too. Did you watch any of the and you're excused if you didn't any of the Gonzaga Pepperdine game last night?
I did
night?
Not. No, I didn't hang with that. Huh?
Okay. Okay, I'll bet you some of our listeners did. And was it just me, or were you surprised at the and let's see who was doing it? Vital and Bob Wischusen were doing the game. So,
okay.
Two really veteran guys, and Sean Parnum was the third voice, who, by the way, I think is really good.
Uh-huh.
I think Sean Parnum does a really nice job. And but he was not the main voice. And anytime you get Dick Vital on the broadcast, he's the main voice, but you get my point. Anyway, the recurring theme of this game as Gonzaga was burying Pepperdine, and I mean burying them, the recurring theme was they don't play anybody in the conference. And I'm sitting here watching that game and thinking, how the hell long are we going to have this discussion about Gonzaga? I mean, are you kidding me? Why are we even having... And it was brought up over and over again. Oh, the league they play in, they don't play anybody. You know, I'm sorry. Isn't that Zag out of the corral?
They can't help it, first of all.
I mean, and by the way, and they play one of the best non-conference schedules in the country. They do everything that they can do to gird against playing in the WCC.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here it is, after all of these, I mean, aren't we past the point with Gonzaga about really questioning the league that they play in? Do we really think that Gonzaga isn't one of the four best teams in the country? And do we really think that Gonzaga isn't one of the primary candidates to win the national championship? Come on.
Played and
it's a tired theme.
Played and beat Texas A&M, Illinois, Arizona, Duke, Creighton, Washington. Lost to Tennessee,
right.
North Carolina. So you talk about a team that understands, a few gets it. Few understands this. He understands
the
stigma that comes with the West Coast Conference. By the way, the American Athletic Conference all conference teams came out. They had three unanimous players on the first team. Corey Davis Jr., Jerron Cumberland, Jeremiah Martin. They were all on the first team. Marcus
pretty
McDuffie.
Pretty hard to argue that, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
B.J.
Taylor
anyway.
And Shiz Olsen, the other two guys on the first team. So McDuffie got on second team. Dexter Dennis was all freshman team. Today, the Defensive Player of the Year, the Most Improved Player, the Sixth Man, and the Sportsmanship Award will come out in the American. Plenty still left to get to basketball-wise. We'll tell you who punched their tickets last night, who's playing tonight, what conferences start coming up this week. It's championship week, and we'll talk about it here on Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce with you here on KFH.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.